Well, it is my extreme honor tonight to introduce our guest speaker. He, as I mentioned earlier, he was with us last year, but our guest speaker is Dr. Alvin Edwards. He is the pastor of Mount Zion First African Baptist Church here in Charlottesville, who the choir is from, and he's been the pastor there for a mere 35 years. 35 years. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. I'm on 15. He's got me beat by a long shot. He has been one of the, I think, probably one of the most influential pastors in our city. He has served on city council. He has served on the Charlottesville School Board. He was the mayor of this city for 3 years, okay? So, and he currently sits on the board for Piedmont Community College and has his PhD in education from George Mason, does undergrad at Wheaton in Illinois, because a lot of great things come out of Illinois. I'm from Illinois, but anyways, that's right. Yeah, hey, that's right, that's right. And then got his master's at Virginia Union Theological Seminary. But it is my great joy to introduce to you Dr. Alvin Edwards. We give him a great, big, warm Chi Alpha welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a privilege and honor to be able to come back here again to share with you. And sometimes people invite you back because you didn't do well the first time. So I'm just glad to be here. But I brought, also have with me my wife of 39 years. And she's been very fortunate to have me for all those years. And now, God, our Father, we thank thee for another moment of preaching. Hide me behind thine cross. Allow them to see more of thee and less of me. In the name of Jesus, our Christ and soon coming King, we do pray. And the people of God said, amen. From the book of beginnings, better known as the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7, you'll find these words. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to talk for the next few minutes that I have stand before you, how we are made. How we are made. I want to talk about how we are made because I am convinced that until we appreciate, fathom, recognize, and realize for ourselves, until we understand how we are made, we cannot reach or realize our full potential as children of God. Neither can we fulfill the assignment that God has given each and every one of us. I am convinced that we cannot be all that God wants us to be or do what he wants us to do until we know and understand how we are made. And so I am convinced that it is essential that the foundation of being a healthy body of believers and having healthy believers who will fulfill their assignment will not happen until we recognize whose we are and how we are made. Can I tell you that until we figure it out, until we learn this, we will not be able to do what we were created to do. Listen, if we don't do what we were designed to do, we will be dysfunctional and out of sync. So to keep us from being a dysfunctional body of believers, an abnormal functioning body of baptized believers with unhealthy interpersonal behaviors, folks who are serving in positions that they should not be in, I want to invite you to journey with me through this verse in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, because I believe this verse will and can help us to understand how we are made. Now, my purpose in preaching this sermon is that we might be the church, the light of the world that God wants us to be. And when you are the church that God wants you to be, then we can serve where we should be serving. There's a TV show on the Discovery Channel named How It's Made. And what they do on that show is they show you how certain things are made. The premise of the show is that you cannot make use of something effectively if you don't know how it's made. And if it's broke, you can't fix it unless you know and understand how it's made. And so I want to talk about how we're made. And what I hope we learn tonight are three key words. First of all, that we are preceded by God, produced by God, and powered by God. That is how we are made. In order to address these issues of dysfunction, if you want to be what you ought to be and serve where you should serve, then you got to know what you are made to be. You cannot function and live according to design if you are operating in the ignorance of your formation and your creation. So at some point, if you're going to get it right, you got to go back and look at how we're made. In chapter 2, the book of beginnings, Genesis, it tells the story of the creation of human beings. It tells you how you were made. When you look at the 7th verse, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Notice what the verse just told you. It told you how he made you. In this one verse, the writer teaches us that you were preceded by God, produced by God, and powered by God. You may ask where. The writer says, "And the Lord God." Or in the New King James Translation, it says this way, "Then the Lord God." Put a quarter in your meter and stop right there for just a minute. Before you were, God is. And if you don't understand how you were made, you have to recognize that before you were made, God was there before you. Therefore, if you're going to understand how you are properly made, you got to recognize that there is a power greater than you. And there is a source of your being, and if you are not honoring the source of your being, then you are out of conformance with your design and with your making. Because it says, "Then the Lord," not then IBM Corporation, not then some the University of Virginia, not then some prominent preacher, not then Barack Obama, the President of the United States, not then Alvin Edwards, not then me, but it says, "Then the Lord." Not some denomination, not some church leader, but it says, "The Lord." My brothers and sisters, everything was preceded by God. God did this before I was God, before you, God, who God. So no matter what or who you think you are, you may think you're a bag of chips and all of that, I can affirm by reading the word of God that I know a time when I was not. Because in the beginning, you were not. God is saying that you did not precede me, but I preceded you. And let me drop this on you too. Don't ever say you wouldn't be anything without a good friend or your spouse. Because the truth of the matter is, you would not be anything without God. The reality is that you are preceded by God. God created me in his image, after his likeness, and God doesn't make any junk. God goes before me, and I never bow down to another power who wants me to act like they made me, act like they shaped me, act like they designed me, act like they defined me, act like they determined me, or act like they destined me, because they were not there in the beginning. And I will not trust my will to be that which was not. In other words, my being, my living is anchored in the one who preceded me. Then the Lord God, before you, God had already moved on the face of the water. Before you, God had already tilted the earth 23.5 degrees on its axis, set it spinning 1,000 miles an hour, completing its rotation in a 24-hour period, giving you a sunrise, sunset, and another sunrise. Before you, God had already set the earth revolving around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour, maintaining the necessary critical velocity to keep the distance between the earth and the sun. If the earth went 1 mile faster, it would break the gravitational pull, and we would be hurled into outer darkness, and then we'd be destroyed. Then if we were 1 mile slower, we would be drawn into the sun and then be consumed by the fire. But there is a God who created the necessary critical velocity for us to live here on this earth. Before you, God put the wet in the water. Before you, God put the crunch in an apple. Before you, God put the crisp in a lettuce. Before you, he put the sweet in an orange. Before you, he put the tart in a lemon. Before you, he put the quack in a duck. Before you, he put the plump in the cloud, in the blue sky. Before you, he put the twinkle in the star. Before you, he put rain in the thunder. Before you, God put the beam in the moon. Before you, God separated the day and the night. God planted everything in the field before you even showed up. My point is this, that there was power living before you. And God designed you in such a way that there is a hollow contracting organ that is housed in the center of your chest, which weighs just a few ounces, beating rhythmically 70 times a minute, 4,200 times an hour, 100,000 times a day, and in one 24-hour period, emitting enough energy to lift one ton 42 feet off the ground. Only taking enough time to rest in between each beat. If you stop and look at these things, the only thing you can say is that there must be a God somewhere. My point is, I'm preceded by God. And if I'm going to understand my existence, I start out with the knowledge that I am preceded by God. But then secondly, look at this verse again. It says in so many words that God preceded you and demonstrated God's behavior by producing you. So therefore, I am a product of that which preceded me. I'm formed by God. And for those of you who have low self-esteem, since God formed you, you are not a wreck. You are not a worm. When someone calls you a worm, they're defining you based upon the lie that is claiming you and not the God who made you. The purpose of the church, the purpose of the body of believers is to help you to discover who made you so that you will stop living the lie that's misnaming you. Listen, the church should not reinforce the lie by naming you according to fallen theology that negates the gift of God in you by teaching you that you are not deformed but rather deformed. You are wondrously, majestically, mighty, mystically, and marvelous made by God who does all things well. Listen, you need to understand and say to yourself, I'm God's stuff. And can I tell you that God doesn't make any junk? God does not create arrogance because I already recognize the one who preceded me, so I can't get arrogant because I know he made me. But what it does do, it makes me pray. Because the God who preceded me is so gifted that he invested in me and brings me into life and into existence, and you are a product. You are not just a product of your mother and father, because God said to Jeremiah, I knew you. Before you were born, I knitted you together in your mother's womb. So if that is true, then why is it that we instruct everyone in Psalm 51? That is that I was shaped in iniquity, shaped in sin, and born in iniquity. Rather than Psalm 8, which says, I'm wondrously and majestically made. Or turn to Psalm 139. Why am I not speaking the authority of God in your life rather than the authority of sin that is distorting your life? When you know how we are made, it is produced by God. God made you. God formed you, and God formed you from the dust of the earth. Now, using that image, if God formed you from the dust of the earth, understand this, that God can't form you from the dust of the earth without leaving his fingerprints on you. Y'all will get there when you get home. If God made you, when he made you, he left his fingerprints on you. And so, if you look in the mirror and see something other than a creation of God, you are looking at the prints by somebody who should not have their hands on you in the first place. And the people who shouldn't have their hands on you, they want to condition you to believe that there is something other, that you're something other than what God created. so they continue to do to you what they're doing to you right now. Because if you ever obtain the knowledge of your true person and your true being, they would not have the authority to do what they're doing to you. You need to tell them, guys, keep your hands off this stuff here. This is sanctified and set apart for God's business. My brothers and sisters, could it be that the failure of the church is that we are creating people and setting up to be victims rather than victors? And could it be that the church is preaching this is where we are victimized? Because if the church ever taught you the truth about yourself, you would be glorifying God rather than glorifying somebody else. You see, once I get privilege from victimization, I can't preach truth. I got to preserve my privilege. Listen, God produced you. His fingerprints are all over you. You were designed by God. You were formed by God. You were created by God, and you were made by God. You have a designer label on you that says God produced you. It does not say sin produced you, but that God is your maker, that God is your producer. So you've got to understand that sin distorts. And you may say, well, can I tell y'all why? See, sin can make you look like something other than who you are. Can I get a witness? But there is only one creator. And sin cannot recreate you. It can only mess you up until you discover who the creator is. Listen, it is not based on where you are or your situation or your location. The basis of your identification is not your situation, not your location, or somebody else's distorted interpretation. Your identification is a function of your creation and not your situation and not your location or your interpretation. And once you claim your relation with the source of your creation, there is no situation, there is no location, there is no interpretation that can place limitations on your elevation to your destination. You say, why? Because of the power of Almighty God. The reality is we are defining ourselves based upon something other than the creation. We are living in default, distorted interpretation that keeps us in the position of victimization. But the word says to us, do you know how you're made? I don't have to prove to you that I am somebody. I just be the person that God made me to be, and I am somebody because I'm a child of the King. I don't care whether you're black, white, green, or blue. If you're a child of the King, you are somebody. I don't have to compete with you, and I'm not waiting for you to legitimate my existence. My existence is God-given and not your assignment. God produced you. God formed you. God made you to live meaningfully, powerfully. You got to understand that your life does matter, and you need to act like somebody does matter because you are produced by God. Well, how many of you got warranty on your cars? I probably should ask how many of you got cars. Well, when I had a car that had a warranty, I took it to the dealer. But when the warranty expired, I took it to anybody, including the jackleg under the tree. So if something is wrong with my old car, you could take some duct tape and a screwdriver and take a whack at it. But when a car is under warranty, don't take it to a jackleg. Take it back to the dealer. Can I tell you all that we're all under warranty? And when something is wrong with you, when you got issues in your life, don't take it just to anybody. You need to take it to the one who made you. Don't let anybody handle you who didn't come from the factory. My brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that you're all under warranty because God produced you. And I believe we can change the world with the message of the church that would help our young men, young women, and people who have been abused all their lives not to come to church to be abused again. Oh, the world has constantly told you that you are nobody. And then all we do is repeat the same orthodox theology that is designed to oppress you rather than to give the liberating truth that says that God made you. The word says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You were preceded by God. And then after he produced you, what did he do? He breathed into you the breath of life. Then you were powered by God. Listen, God says in so many words, you become a living soul after I release my giving principle in you. Let me say that again. That's what God said. He said, you become a living soul after I release my life-giving principle in you. And when you're not living by my breath, this is God talking. He's saying, you're dead. You're dying. Because I'm not in you. I am life-giving. If you read your Bibles closely, you will discover that there are 9 resuscitations, 3 in the Old Testament, 2 in the Acts, 4 in the Gospel. And as I read the New Testament, there's only 1 resurrection. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I admit that many of us missed that when Jesus was raised. The graves opened and the dead were seen walking around Jerusalem. But now here is the point. If Jesus is up out of his grave, why are you still hanging around the tombs? Resurrection power is not just about him, it's about us. What's interesting that in all of these stories, there are people who find comfort in these graves and they give authority to the grave to the degree that they don't believe in the possibility of life. And the reason why is because they accept the defining power of the grave. But know this, that Jesus always calls you out of a death situation. He does not give you upward mobility in death. And the church has been preaching and teaching people how to live and move the pine box in the back of the grave to the marble mausoleums in the front of the cemetery. And what we do is that we will sow our last dime to somebody who's teaching us to be prosperous in death and will crucify somebody who says, I'm out. My point is, God produces and then God breathes. The spirit does not kill your body. You don't lose your body when you get in the spirit. The spirit will make your body alive. We teach that the body is evil, but whenever the body is connected with the spirit, you are spiritually activated. Your body sensations will be elevated with spiritual presence. Every behavior in your body ought to be a spiritual moment. To glorify God in your body is a spiritual moment. You don't kill the body to glorify God. You live in this body and glorify God. I'm thankful that we're powered by God. Even though some of you had a dead battery, you called AAA. While you were waiting, you went out there and tapped and twisted the battery post and the car started up. Well, what's the issue, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what the issue is. Your battery is not dead. There was corrosion between the terminal of the battery and the terminal of, and the battery post and the battery terminal. In other words, no power could get to the car because there was corrosion. See, y'all don't know too much about cars, but look at this. Corrosion inhibits and prevents the transference of power. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit does not come just on the day of Pentecost? Can I get a witness? The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is God, and he shows up when he gets ready, and whenever the Spirit shows up, he shows out. But the problem is you have corrosion in your existence that is inhibiting the transference of power. that's available to you from God. Listen. Once the corrosion builds up on the body, on the battery post, you cannot experience a charge until the corrosion is removed. Sometimes you have to get rid of a bad relationship. Sometimes you have to make sure you do your part. Sometimes you have to spend more time before the Lord than rather playing Xbox 360, I think, you know. One of them games, you know, I'm out of state. I'm out of there. I'm on 64. I'll be 65 in October, so I don't really remember. But my point is that you need to give more time to God and remove some of the other stuff that inhibits and keeps you from spending time with Him. And you see what happened is this. The Bible is the story of the attempt to remove corrosion. So the spirit that was operative could be experienced again and again and again. And so in the beginning, God filled you with the spirit. But now what is happening? God is sending your power, but you got corrosion that inhibits transfer. The corrosion is called sin. In the beginning, you were created and your engine was started and you started going. But then sin came in the world and your engine started making this funny noise. And so in the Old Testament, we have the story that is trying to reconnect you with the power. Prophets came, and sometimes they would get it right. But then Israel would sin, and corrosion would show up again. The reality is your car was and is going nowhere. Sometimes your car was sluggish. Sometimes it needed an oil change. Sometimes it wasn't hitting on all cylinders. Sometimes it needed new spark plugs. Sometimes it was misfiring. Sometimes it needed new wires. Sometimes the fuel injectors needed to be cleaned. And then sometimes the whole car needed to be overhauled. But one day, God said, I need a master mechanic. Somebody who was with me when the car was made whole. Well, you know the story. That how he came through 40 and two generations. How he healed the sick. How he raised the dead. How he performed all kinds of miracles. But because he was produced, because he was powered, he knew who he was. And he was able to fulfill his assignment. You know it took him to the cross, and you know he died, but that ain't the good news. On the first day of the week, in the black church, we say it early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave and said, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Not just black power, not just white power, not just green power, but all that will enable us to do what he's assigned to our hands. And so as you remember how we are made, let me remind you of the three P's. First of all, we were preceded by God because he is God. Then we were produced by God because he made us in his image and after his likeness. But then finally we're powered by God because his son demonstrates by his overcoming the grave. You can sing that song that he lives. And as the songwriter said, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Preceded, produced, and powered. Let us pray. God, our Father, thank you. Help us to hide your word in our heart so that we might not sin against thee. Help us to leave this auditorium different than the way in which we arrived, that we leave here not only as hearers of thy word, but as doers of thy word. In the name of Jesus, our Christ and soon coming King, we do pray. And the people of God said,